Well, good evening. It's great to be with you again. I was here over the summer at some point. But it's great to be back. I've been praying for you, and I've enjoyed my time here. My wife's here today. She wasn't here last time, so we look forward to getting to know you. The sermon text this evening is 1 John 1, 5 through 7. We're going to look at God and what it means for him to be light in a world of darkness. So, this is the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Pray with me. Almighty God, we come to you now dependent on your blessing, dependent on the renewal of our minds by your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we conclude your day of worship, may this time be a means of grace to us, and may you enable us through your word to walk in the light in a world that is so often very dark, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, when sharing the gospel with an unbeliever, how would you give them the good news? What words would you use to describe the gospel? Most of us would probably say something like, Jesus came and died for you and for your sin. And if you repent and you place your faith in him, then you will be saved from your sin and condemnation. That's how we see the gospel being preached around us, and that's how we see the gospel being proclaimed in Scripture as well, so often. And yet here in this passage, we see John describing the message of the gospel with one simple statement, unlike what I think we might be used to hearing. John says that the message heard from Jesus, that the apostles proclaimed to his readers, is as simple as this: God is light. He makes no mention of what we would normally think of when sharing the gospel, that Jesus died to save sinners, that he came into this world because of God's love. In verse 5, we see no mention of that. John is making a statement about who God is, what God is, and that there is no darkness in him. And yet, this statement is enough for John to summarize the message of the gospel. Instead of saying something about what God has done for us, John resorts to describing the content of the gospel with a statement about the nature of God. And then in verses 6 and 7, he outlines the imperatives that flow out of the fact that God is light and that there is no darkness in him at all. Not only is God the God of light, but those who belong to him are to live lives characterized by light as well. But how are we to understand what it means for God to be light? And how is it that that statement comes to bear on how we live our lives? I want to start by answering that first question by looking at what Scripture has to say about God and what it means for him to be light. Then I want to unpack what John says about how God, being the God of light, affects our pattern of living. I want us to come away from this time tonight and go throughout this week meditating on the idea that our God is the God of light who lights our way. So, what does it mean for God to be light? And I think what's fascinating about this statement and summarizing the gospel in this way is that it's something that maybe even non-Christian religions might be able to affirm to some degree. Most people have some association in their minds between divinity and light, or between goodness and light. In books and movies and anything with a narrative that centers around the conflict between good and evil, the good is often associated with light, while the evil is associated with darkness. There's also a connection between the afterlife and light. Just think of the saying, don't go towards the light, as you witness someone experiencing a near-death experience. There's clearly something present in human beings that leads us to the conclusion that both God and heaven and the good are associated with light. So what I think is interesting is that we have scripture affirming this idea that God is light. And then we have people who aren't necessarily Christian and religions that don't acknowledge the Bible also affirming this same idea. The fact that this idea exists even in the minds of the unbelieving world, I think we can explain that by the fact that man is made in the image of God. There is a knowledge of God in everyone. And even though sin has deeply distorted God's image in man, man still possesses a knowledge of him, even if that knowledge is fallen, incomplete, met with rebellion, and deeply shrouded in darkness. In this case, that means that even without the special revelation of Scripture, men can say that God is light. And we could say that our passage today is the Apostle John responding to what people already know about God, that he is light, and then taking that knowledge and putting it into the proper context. The gospel is God saying to the fallen world, yes, I am light, but I am not light in exactly the way that you think I am. God says that to understand what it means for me to be light, you need to hear from me in my word, and I will show you what that means. And in his word, he paints a grand picture of what it means for him to be light and to be the God of light. All you have to do is open your Bible to the first page, and you immediately see the connection established between God and light. God's first action in creation is to say, let there be light. In the words of Paul in 1 Timothy 6, the immortal God that had dwelt in inapproachable light for all eternity before creation. When God begins creation, his first action is to imprint something of his character onto creation, but in a created form that we could say is analogous to the light of eternity. The light of God's heavenly throne room and his very being is different from the light that comes from our sun or the light that appears when you flip on a light switch in your house. But that light that we see every day is nonetheless something of a revelation of God's character to us. God's creation starts with a revelation of himself as the source and origin of all light, that comforting, piercing, created thing that helps us to see, that helps us to live and have our being. Because he himself is light and has been for all eternity. Scripture also shows us instances in which the eternal light of God really does break through into this world, that real light of his heavenly throne room, his glory, not just the created analogical form that we are familiar with. Think of Ezekiel's vision of the one seated on the throne and how he describes the great brightness that was all around God. Think of Moses when he came down from talking to God face to face on the mountain and how Moses' own face was shining when he returned to the camp. God's shining glory had such an effect on Moses that for hours after, Moses himself was shining. Think of the light that blinded Paul on the road to Damascus when Jesus confronted him and made him his own. In many of these instances, the light of God's glory is enough to terrify men and to bring them to their knees in worship. Such heavenly visions are instances in which the veil of this world is pulled away for a moment, and the heavenly reality of God's light and glory is shown to men. God shining his light into the lives of men is a central theme and regular occurrence when it comes to the way in which he reveals himself to individuals in Scripture and even to us. Light is tied to God, giving a more direct revelation of himself. Therefore, we can see why the Apostle John makes a connection in multiple places in his books of Scripture between Christ, the full revelation of God, and light. In John 1, we see Christ referred to as the light of the world, sent into the world by God. And now in 1 John 1, we see the connection made again. Christ as the epitome of the revelation of God, and the connection that John makes between Christ and light should lead us to conclude that it is truly the case that the message of the gospel, it is truly the case that when we think of the message of the gospel, what we should see is the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that can be summarized as God is light. It's important to note that the light of God is directly tied to his glory. This is why John not only says that God is light, but that there is no darkness in him at all. God's sheer perfection and glory come from the fact that there is nothing bad, nothing incomplete, nothing dark in him at all. The light of God is a revelation of that truth, that he is perfect. And because of that perfection, there can be no darkness in him. That's why it's such a shocking and undoing experience to be confronted with the glory of God as a weak and sinful creature like we are. And that is why when the God of light has fellowship with us, we ourselves are to become like him, living lives set apart in the light and free of all darkness. James goes from making this statement about the message of God being light to the ethical implications this has on those who call themselves Christians. To call oneself Christian, as John says, is to by implication make every effort to have nothing to do with darkness. John equates walking in the darkness with having no fellowship with God, for the very reason that those who are in fellowship with God ought to be like him and to have no darkness in them. And that darkness John is talking about is the sin that is still present in our lives and in this world. Those things that we do, those things that we see that are not in line with the identity that we have in Christ. Those things are darkness for the simple reason that they are an absence of light. They are an absence of the character of God. Hate, murder, envy, adultery, lying, all these things are examples of the darkness we are at risk of walking in every day. John's teaching here is a warning to us that as Christians, we can have nothing to do with such darkness, and that we ought always to be on guard against the hypocrisy of calling ourselves Christians, but then living like we aren't. But the good news is this: the light of God is in you because you have the Spirit of God. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then God has given you his light, and he is lighting your way. To you, as David says, the law is now a lamp unto your feet. And you have been enabled to turn from sin and darkness. And not only are we to walk in the light of fellowship with God, but when we do, we have fellowship with one another. It isn't simply us and Jesus. It is us and Jesus, but it is also us and Jesus and our brothers and sisters in him, the people of God who together walk in the light. So if you find yourself lost in the darkness, not sure where to turn, remember that God has placed others around you to help you back into the light, that those friendships, that encouragement, is so often a means of grace that he uses to restore us to himself. Remember that God has given you this place, the church even, to come every week to hear his word, to receive his sacraments, his means of grace to you. Let that be fuel for the light that is your life. Those in fellowship with God around us are, as I said, so often a means of grace to us in this way. Verse 7 is important for us to remember because it points us to the corporate nature of the body of Christ and reminds us that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, and therefore a part of something stronger than just ourselves. John ends this verse with another important truth to remember, that only in the light of Christ are we forgiven for our sins. Even if our sin pulls us out of the light and we spend time finding our way back, we can turn to Christ and be cleansed of our sin and trust that we bear the condemnation no more. And the truth of that cleansing from sin should drive us closer to Christ and deeper into the light, motivating us by the joy of our hearts to consistently walk in the light of fellowship, the light of fellowship with God and one another. Now, I want to conclude by thinking about Revelation 21:23. And hear these words: "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Where we are headed is a place that has no need for a sun or a flashlight or a light switch. There's no daylight savings that's going to interfere and make it dark at 5:30 every day. The light of God that is the glory of Jesus Christ is the only source of light that we will ever need there. When we are there, there will be no darkness. There will be no more darkness in us, and no risk of us ever leaving the light of fellowship with God. We will be surrounded by it. Like Paul's words in 1 Timothy 6, God dwells in unapproachable light. But through the person of Christ, the God who dwells in unapproachable light actually approached us and made a way for us to approach him and have fellowship with him. And lastly, we should note as well that the light of God doesn't shine on everyone equally. For the unbeliever, the light of God is a piercing and blinding light, one that they shield their eyes from and cover themselves to get away from. And on the day when Christ returns, they will be forced to confront the truth of the light of God, and they will be held accountable for the lives they lived in darkness. But for the Christian, the light of God is the beauty of our Savior that lights our way and inspires our worship and illuminates the realm of heaven that is our true home. For us, that last day, when Christ returns and shines his light into this world, will be the greatest moment in all the history of the world. The time when darkness itself, death itself, ceases to exist. And we will rejoice at the shining of that light. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you truly are a God of light. Your word tells us this much. And Lord, may we be your people, a people characterized by light as well. May we live not in the darkness. May we, by your grace, be enabled to return again to the fellowship of the light. And let that darkness not touch us, Lord, as we go from here to our jobs, to our homes, our lives. Be with us and light our way. We pray these things in your name. Amen.